All devotees, friends and well-wishers for this Sunday festival program. So for today's program, we selected a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1st, Chapter 1st and Text 2nd. So we'll recite this verse and then we will try to discuss on this verse some silent features.
Dharma projjita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni krute kimva parerishvara sadyo hridavarudhyate trakrudibhi shushrushubhi tatkshanat.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Puran propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Purport: religion includes four primary subjects, namely pious activities, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and finally liberation from material bondage. Irreligious life is a barbarous condition. Indeed, human life begins when religion begins. Eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating are the four principles of animal life. These are common both to animals and human beings. But religion is the extra function of the human being. Without religion, human life is no better than animal life. Therefore, in human societies, there is some form of religion which aims at self-realization and which makes reference to man's eternal relationship with God. In the lower stages of human civilization, there is always competition to lord it over the material nature. Or in other words, there is a continuous rivalry to satisfy the senses. Driven by such consciousness, man turns to religion. He thus performs pious activities or religious functions in order to gain something material. But if such material gain are obtainable in other ways, then so-called religion is neglected. This is a situation in modern civilization. Man is thriving economically. So at present, he is not very interested in religion. Churches, mosques, or temples are now practically vacant. Men are more interested in factories, shops, and cinemas than in religious places which were erected by their forefathers. This practically proves that religion is performed for some economic gains. Economic gains are needed for sense gratification. Often, when one is baffled in the pursuit of sense gratification, he takes to salvation and tries to become one with the Supreme Lord. Consequently, all these states are simply different types of sense gratification. This long purport, so while discussing, we will again read some sections. So we'll chant the Prana Mantra, then we will discuss on the subject. Most of the people in the city of Bombay at this time, either they would be sitting in front of television or they would be in other places of recreation, break from the local train travel. Nevertheless, the man in this age, they are working very hard and practically they are risking their life thanks to the modern technological advancement. They are doing all these things ultimately for what? To experience happiness or love. We practically see in the city of Bombay, especially in the local trains, it is such a risky travel. And very often we hear the news that many casualties takes place. But still, people take risk. For what? Because in the evening when they reach home, or the midnight when they reach home, they are sitting in front of the television, or you know, the children are coming and they are getting some loving reciprocation that makes them forget everything else. So the hard work people are doing because they want to experience some love and some reciprocation. But nevertheless, in today's session, we'll try to understand that what is real love or where the real satisfaction can be experienced. Also, we have learned from the devotees that at this year, the world is celebrating the appearance or birth, we can call it safely, of Darwin, who propagated this evolution theory. And I heard there are a lot of programs they are conducting, a lot of magazines and newspapers, articles about the contributions of great Darwin and his book, The Origin of Species. And here Prabhupada is mentioning the man is thriving economically, so at present he is not very interested in religion. Churches, mosques or temples are now practically vacant. So in the previous ages, man, in order to achieve this happiness and satisfaction, they indeed turn towards religion. Of course, we want happiness and satisfaction. Okay, we will try to get these things through following the religion. But they also felt that we need to follow certain rules and regulations and conducts. And in the top, people, those who want to exploit the man who want to exploit the general mass, were not able to do that successfully because there are a lot of rules and regulations to be followed. In the Vedic civilization, a king cannot just rule the kingdom the way he wants. He has to follow the dictation or the advice of the selfless brahmanas. The brahmanas who know the shastra, they teach the shastra, And they tell the king that this is what the Shastra say and you rule the kingdom accordingly. Shastra means it's authorized scriptures. And the king, taking the advice of the Brahmanas, they use the Shastra and they rule the citizen. But those who disobey the laws, the Shastras, and the king execute them using Shastra or and the weapon. Different rules and regulation. That is a standard Vedic procedure where the society was living very happily, prosperous and full of satisfaction. But we see in few centuries before, gradually the system declined. And man, in order to live independently, like a child who thinks the parents are impediment to my enjoyment, so they want to cut their connection with their parents. So who is the main cause for enjoyment? Who is the main obstruction for me to enjoy? The rules and regulation, which is put forward by somebody who is sitting above, God, whatever name you call. So, they want to forget the Lord. But if you say so, the mass of people are generally religious and they have some faith in God. So there was systematic propaganda. How to remove God out of the picture? So what did they do? They understood that God is a part of a life of the human population, because everybody believes that God is a person who created us. We came from God. God created us, especially those who are young boys. They can, oh, God created me good, you know, they can feel. But later they decided that we had to do something about this. So, and also in the meantime, the Brahmanas or those who are religious heads who were supposed to inspire the people, they behaved very hypocritic way and they started exploiting people in various religious communities, not only in India but everywhere. So they wanted to, there was a kind of a protest. So it is said in the religious historical study, they wanted to intellectually convince people that there is no God. So because people believed that God created us, they came up with a theory that actually our origin is not God but the monkey sitting on the branch. So of course the monkey is not going to give any scripture or any rules and regulation for us to follow. It can lead a free life like them. But nevertheless, we are successfully degraded in the human population than the monkeys. At least they have some context. They don't eat the non-vegetarian food. But nevertheless, the propaganda successfully removed God from the picture of the people. We are not created by God and we are not accountable to his opinion, the scripture, because we came from monkeys ultimately. And also, there is another connection with the God. Okay, we are not created by God, but things which we see around in the material world, which you want to enjoy, that is actually, we did not create, or the monkey doesn't seem like making some mountains or rivers or some factory produced car. They are just sitting in the branch. So who created us? So there was a question. But then the intellectual scientist came with another propaganda that actually the world did not come from God. They did not even say monkey because it's more ridiculous. It came from some kind of, you know, bang or something. So we don't go in detail into this subject matter. It is probably not a relevant topic for Sunday feast. But nevertheless, we want to make few points. So they successfully removed God out of the picture, that the world has any connection with the God. No connection at all. It just came from a bang. So you are nothing to do with God. You are not created by God. And the world which you want to enjoy is also not coming from God. So enjoy life. You are not accountable for anything. So that is a propaganda. And also, it's not that many people did not know this, but this was very much helping for the people on the top to rule the citizens also. Because if you worship God, if you believe God, then that is a detrimental factor for the leaders to control the people. We have heard when the Romans attacked, when they captured the country, they were atheistic people, and the people who were conquered, they were then followers of Christianity. So they have nothing to do with the religion. But later they found it difficult to rule the people. So they said that very difficult to rule the people, they don't obey us. And they called the religious leaders and they told them that this is our request and our order that you again propagate God consciousness vigorously. And they told them that you should also make sure that you should tell the people in general a religion not out of love, but religion of fear. In fact, we heard that even in Christianity, previously there is a concept of reincarnation. But even being pushed by the leaders, the Christian leaders, they have to water down their theory that there is no reincarnation, there is only one life. If you do good, if you follow the rules, you are going to heaven. If you don't follow, you're going to hell. So, the Romans, they forced them to preach like this because they found it very easy for rule the citizens. Because they are afraid, if you miss this chance, then there is no other choice for you. So, in this way, religion was also used to control the people. But when the same religion is not anyway congenial to control the people, the political propaganda also did not pay any attention for the degradation of the religious principle. We find in the present India also, as Prabhupada mentioned, that even though India was running towards the Western modernization, the Western civilization, the religion is going down, but leaders were not interested in saying anything about it. So the reason is the politicians were also very happy because they can easily control the people. And why they can control the people? Like simple example, if the politicians want to control the people should be happy with them and they have to whatever vote or whatever they have to put their votes. And how you can control the people unless they are satisfied or they are happy. But if you follow rules and regulation, the way the scripture, as Prabhupada mentioned, that the human civilization is starting with God consciousness. That is human civilization. And if our God consciousness, even there is sense gratification allowed, but there is a limit to that. But if you want to control the people, as one country president is announcing that our country is facing an economical problem, so everybody please come out of your home and buy something. So he made a slogan, shop till you drop. So people should not be satisfied or happy with whatever they have. There should be a propaganda, there should be a thinking that I need more. So in order to make the people greedy, they also felt this process is very congenial. Enjoy your life for the full satisfaction. And never be satisfied as well. But then, in order to give things to people, how much a person can enjoy? So you need to have another thing, that is items of sense gratification. So for that, the demonic brains used various ways to manufacture unwanted items. As we heard from some other devotees, more than the necessities of life, and there are wants and needs, but wants are more than needs. The more the Kali Yuga progresses, the needs are very difficult to get. Like pure water is very difficult. But if you want to buy some, you know, cosmetic shampoo, it is very easily available. Nice food is very difficult. But if you want to get some Coca-Cola, anywhere you go, in any corner of the world, you can find Coca-Cola. So, there is increase of the products which can be enjoyed by the people. So, in this way, industrial growth from 19th century onwards, it took place. So, there is a systematic propaganda, a systematic way how we can enjoy without having God in picture. So God is removed and industries were growing. And how the industries can grow? Because they are producing, but the formula to produce these things are coming from the brains of the intellectual group of people. So the politicians, they support and they pay so much money and they encourage the students to go into this direction, that you do some research. How 10 different way a person can sleep well. Different types of bed, PhD on those things. Water bed, air bed, you know, so many other beds. People are sleeping peacefully on the floor. So much of encouragement is done to the students whose fertile brain is used in these unnecessary activities. For what? So, the brain, according to Vedic civilization, is not to be, it's not controlled. The head or the Brahmana class of person, intellectual, they are not supposed to be controlled. Rather, they responsibly give advice to the controllers. And because they are advising the management, they are being respected for their selfless service. But here we see in this Kali Yuga, the intellectual group of students, they have been practically purchased and they are practically been worked as a slaves. Even we hear nowadays in the academical world that you can't just study what you want to study. There is social pressure. I want to be like this only. I want to do this. Why? Because that is what is being respected by the people. So we see the systematic propaganda that trying to enjoy life without God. And there is a systematic propaganda of how to remove God from picture, how to remove God from people's life, how to remove God from the objects of this world, and how to remove the fear of God. And it is quite successfully performed. And that is the world which we are seeing in front of us. So here Prabhupada is again mentioning that the man, because of this economical advancement, he is not interested in God consciousness. But nevertheless, we started our discussion by saying that the people of the in the city Mumbai, we see, for example, they are working so hard, ultimately for what? For love, for reciprocation and for satisfaction. But in spite of all these propaganda, systematic, quite hard work, we don't go into the details. Many Western philosophers, as well as missionaries, and as well as so many others, they tried so much, scientific community especially, to bring people to this stage. And man also blindly believed them. And did they achieve their goal? That is love, real love, satisfaction and happiness. But if you see that, it doesn't seem to be like that. Now, when we speak about love or reciprocation or satisfaction, we need to address few common sense thoughts. Love means there is a reciprocation. You can't just, okay, I want to love myself. Some people do that also. Or even such situation is so bad that one is getting frustrated with oneself also. So basically, love means you need at least have a reciprocal two people. You want to love someone else. And also, there is a process to love someone. The process to reciprocate. But nevertheless, we see, if you are walking in the road, or in the workplace, or in the house, quarrel and hypocrisy is increasing more and more. As we heard from our senior devotees, Kali Yuga means there is quarrel in the public. When two people meet or people live together, there is quarrel. And when they live alone in their homes or when nobody is watching them, there is hypocrisy. So these are the major factors of this age of Kali. So why Prabhupada again and again from the beginning, even before he went to America, Prabhupada was so much with compassion, he was addressing this point again and again. In spite of all his endeavor to unite people, in spite of all the endeavor to create peace in this society, still things were not at all conducive. Things are going worst. We don't want to go into these statistical details. Anybody just open the newspaper, you can easily see violence or murder, calamities, etc. So we can find things are going worst in spite of all this so-called advancement. Why? The simple fact is, even if it is at present seems like not logical, but anyway the situation is very bad, but we are proposing a theory that because God is out of picture, that's why there is a problem. So, nevertheless, we also find there seems like some kind of selfish love, reciprocation happening in this world. Like for example, if you go to your office, in the modern offices, there seems like everybody is behaving very nicely, respectful dealings, and you know, they for everything there is a please excuse me or thank you, so many things we hear. So it seems like, oh, these people are very cultured and cleanliness has been seen. So many things are seen and politeness. But when you are speaking about love or reciprocation, it should be selfless. But we see in the dealings, even though there is so-called politeness and so-called etiquettes, but they are ultimately meant for one's own security or one's own protection or one's own prestige or one's own enjoyment. Because they know that if you behave nicely, I'll be respected. Or if I do like this, I will reap the fruit. We don't go into the details. But nevertheless, in this world, the reciprocation love without God in center has selfish tinges in it. Now let us go to another topic. Okay, what about keeping God in the center? Is it keeping God in the center? Is there any difference in that the love? Or is there any difference in the reciprocation? But if you see the history of the people who followed God consciousness, either in the contemporary time or in the previous history, we find the difference in their dealings, difference in this term of love and affection. As we heard on the day of Narsingha Chaturthasi, Isgiris Govind Prabhu, he mentioned that when people doubt the existence of God, it is not a question out of intelligence. Rather, it is a question out of contemplation born out of contamination. So, a man who forgotten God and he tried his best to enjoy independently, it's a contamination. So this is a contamination actually, because God is not a cheap subject, could be understood easily by anyone and everyone, especially those who are want to know him with their own intelligence and senses. One of the name for God is Adokshaja. One of the name for God is Adokshaja, Krishna. And he, by nature, is not to be understood by anyone who want to understand him with their material faculties or the senses. Like for example, the word Adokshaja is a name for Krishna. It's a very interesting name. In the Indian tradition, the alphabets are starting from the first letter A, and the last letter is Ksha. So first letter is A and the last letter is Ksha. So in between, all the alphabets are present. Just like in the Western English language, we see the first letter is A and the last letter is Z, correct? So sometimes we see the shops A to Z. That means whatever is there in that, whatever you can name, A to Z you can get in the shop. Probably you get zebra also. So whatever within this A to Z, you will get those things. So Prabhupada mentions in one lecture, what is the meaning of the word Adokshaja? Prabhupada says, the first letter A and second the last letter Ksha. So if you make combination permutation of letters in between these two, you get all varieties of words. The language is nothing but the combination of letters in between, including A and Ksha. And any word which is born from combination of these letters is called Akshaja, or that is born from these letters. But Prabhupada says, God, Krishna, is Adokshaja. He is not a product of a sound produced from anybody's mental speculation born from the words between A and Ksha. That means that Krishna cannot be understood with their own mental speculation or intellectual gymnastics. Rather, he is to be understood in a different way. So, it is a simple fact that we are a spirit soul. We love God and God is so close to us. But nevertheless, as Govind Prabhu says in Narasingha Chaturthasi, we heard that unnaturally, we naturally envy God in this material world. It is unnatural but natural. Why? Because of the contamination which we have for years together by various propaganda, through education, through the media, through the magazines, newspapers, so on and so on. We are thoroughly got contaminated. And that's why the simple fact God is sometimes very difficult to appreciate. But nevertheless, we find in the scriptures that there is definition of God, who is God, how he appears, all his details are given. So when we take this particular term, loving reciprocation or affection, when we find the same thing in the loving relationship between God and their devotees, it is completely a different realm altogether. We find that everybody in this world want to love others, but it is very tragedy that the people, those who want to love, are people, they themselves, they don't have any, they themselves don't know what will happen to them. The inevitable death comes and separates everybody. It is not at all going to, even a person loves another friend so much. In the movies, we see here the dialogue, for seven life, I want to be with you all the time. But they don't know what happens to them after this life. But still, they're hoping for seven life. So, actually, the whole loving reciprocation satisfaction is born from the from the platform of fear, actually. The whole material world is working under the platform of fear. Why? Because everybody is fearful that when we are going to lose, the reciprocation will get lost. The loving relationship will be lost. The more the Kali Yuga progresses, it gets lost within one lifetime only. At least in the previous ages, at least one lifetime it was lasting. No divorce. But now it is within few decades, is more and more reducing. So it is based on out of fear, insecurity, and it is also based on thorough misunderstanding. What is misunderstanding? They think that we are the body and we are identifying our body, and we think that I am loving this person, so and so is close to me like this. But then we find one day Like in the railway station, you see when people are departing, they are crying and they're hugging each other. At least there is a hope, okay, we'll see sometime future. But when time of death comes, there is inevitably, they are forced to be separated. Things which they love dear and more is forcefully removed from them. So that is a loving reciprocation, so-called, and sense gratification, but based on fear, based on a temporary platform. It's finished. What to speak of reciprocation with others? Even our own body, which is the most dear to the people, it also cheats them. It's very nice in the beginning to enjoy. It's very nice. But then suddenly we stand in front of the mirror and one white hair comes, or the neighbor's child calls you uncle, then we kind of shock in our life. What happened, you know? So it is actually, and that's why we see people of, if you see little old people, those who are not taken to devotional service, there is a fear, there is, if you see, especially if you are going in this, you know, shikar, some dress like this in the train, many people still, you know, Maharaj, haath dekho, you know, see my hand, you know, something. Of course, many don't have faith, but still there is some hope, you know, we'll hope to hear some good news, you know. One of our book distributor, he very sincerely took his hand and he told, and he was very happy that somebody is ultimately seeing my hand, is going to say something. He said, char chish jarur aayega. So, you know, I think that was the last time he was showing his hand to any astrologer. So basically out of the whole thing is going out of fear. But so the whole relationship is based on misunderstanding, and the whole relationship based on out of fear, insecurity and temporary happiness, which is resulting in frustration. Because we, by nature, we want to have a permanent happiness and eternal happiness and eternal life. So, that's why Srila Prabhupada, again, he says that the purpose of distribution of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to educate the people in understanding what is real happiness, what is real love, what is real loving reciprocation. Without knowing that, even logically, if you see, whatever we are trying in the world outside is failing, collectively and individually also. People in as a society, they are suffering, and people as individual, they are also not happy. So why can't we, even with a suspicion also, a little pinch of, with even a little pinch of salt, if you look at the description of the history of the older India, we find there is amazing understanding. So we find a few examples of how the loving reciprocation achieves its limit in not only with one individual with God, but not only that, but with other individuals also, both vertically and horizontally. Vertically in the sense one's relationship with God, and also each other's relationship in the community is thriving and people are so happy. So we see some examples that when we are, if you want love and affection or satisfaction ultimately, let us see how in this path or in this process how we could get. So few days before we celebrated Narasingha Chaturdasi, and little few more days before we also celebrated, we heard there was Sita Navami. So we will try to see few lessons from the loving reciprocation between the devotees and the Lord, and also the loving reciprocation amongst each other. First you will see in the episode of Ramayana few examples of this. It is said the definition of love means It is not for one's own gratification. Because in this world, people want to love each other. But as we hear from Radha Gopinath very often, as long as you are scratching my back, I will scratch your back. But when things break, then that is the end of love. But we see the real love means there is a sacrifice. Real love means there is only want to give pleasure to the beloved and not for my own self. And that is a real love. And the only closest to loving reciprocation, which Prabhupada says we see in this material world, to the spiritual love, is the loving reciprocation with the mother and the child. That is, to some extent, is quite pure. But the scripture says as the loving reciprocation with the Lord and the devotees and with other devotees is far superior, which we cannot even fathom. And that is a loving reciprocation one can feel. It drowns a person completely. It satisfies a person completely. So we will see some of the episodes of how that love and reciprocation was exhibited in the relationship between the devotees and the Lord. The scripture says that the real master is one who never leaves his servant in any condition. And real servant is a person who never leaves his master in any condition. So we see in the episode of Ramayana, Lord Ram appeared. And Lord Ram's dear devotee Lakshman, who is like a shadow who never leaves Lord Ram, he also appeared. In the previous incarnation, Lakshman is none other than Balaram, we all know. The later incarnation. But Balaram felt that in the previous incarnation, I was younger brother of Lord Ram and I had listened to him so much that resulted in so many difficult service to perform. So he appeared as elder brother. But nevertheless, Lakshman as younger brother, as a loving reciprocation, if you see what he all undergone, what he did for Lord Ram is amazing. And we cannot find any way the outside, even the best, most romantic, sentimental Hollywood movie or Bollywood movie cannot even reach any way closer to the loving reciprocation what we find between Lord Ram and their devotees, Krishna and their devotees, which is not fictitious. So now, Lakshman, it is said, he never seen a moment without having association with Lord Ram. He was born after Lord Ram was born, and he never seen a world without Lord Ram because he went to the spiritual world before Lord Ram. So that is his personality. So the kids were born, and it is said, Vasishtha Muni has to give their names. So he saw Lakshman and he understood who is Lakshman. He said, this Lakshman should be named as Lakshman because he is having the real opulence. People in this world are looking for the opulence. But Lakshman was told that Lakshman was given name as Lakshman because he was actually having a real opulence. Vasishtha Muni named him. Lakshman means one who has Lakshmi. Lakshmano, Lakshmi Sampanno. Lakshmi means the opulence. So what is opulence Lakshman had? Not the opulence of wealth and money, but his real opulence is service to Lord Ram. So here we will see another pure loving reciprocation. So Lakshman was there. And then we find the kids are growing up. And we'll pass many sections. Finally, the time came. Lord Ram has to go to forest. And now the younger brother, Dasharatha Maharaj, asked only Lord Ram to go to forest. He never asked Lakshman also to go. But nevertheless, Lakshman, he said that just like a fish cannot live without water, I cannot live without your association. So Lakshman told, I have to come with you. And Lord Ram said that, why you are so adamant, why don't you stay behind and take care of the kingdom? But Lakshman said that for me, living without you is as good as hell. So Lakshman also went with Lord Ram. But in the meantime, when Lakshman went to ask his mother for blessings, his mother did not know that even Lord Ram is going to forest. It was a shock for her, Sumitra, to know that Lord Ram is going to forest. And then when Lakshman said that not only Lord Ram is going to forest, I am also decided to go to forest. Not for one day for picnic, but for 14 years. Sometime we go for Nasik Yatra. But these are 14 years. So his mother, another loving reciprocation we see, she is not even Lord Ram's own mother, but she felt so happy. And she told his son that now the result of having you as my son have achieved perfection. My dear Lakshman, and you should serve Lord Ram. And one warning is that when you are going behind Lord Ram, don't get caught up by seeing the beauty of Lord Ram and you may forget your service. Make sure that Lord Ram is very beautiful, but don't enjoy his beauty and forget your service of protecting him, but rather you be conscious. And Sumitra said, you considered that the city Ayodhya is, the forest is as good as city Ayodhya. Ayodhya Atavim Rajyam. She said that you consider the forest is as good as Ayodhya. And Mam Vidhi Janakatmajam. And she said, you consider Janakatmajas, Mother Sita, is as good as myself. Ayodhya Atavim Vidhim, Mam Vidhi Janakatmajam, Ramam Dasharatam Vidhi. You also accept, you don't discriminate, but consider Lord Ram is as good as your father. Because Lakshman is leaving all the three, his father, his mother, and the city Ayodhya. He is going alone with Lord Ram. So Sumitra, who is the stepmother of Lord Ram, she is advising Lakshman that consider Lord Ram to be as good as your father and consider the forest as good as Ayodhya and Sita as myself and serve them sincerely. And then they are going to the forest, of course, with Mother Sita. And when they're in the forest, in the meantime, Lakshman also, as his nature, he becomes very angry with Kaikeyi. And also he becomes very upset with his own father because he was upset. Why did Dasharatha Maharaj give this this order to Lord Ram? Foolish Kaikeyi, she asked for a boon. Why is the husband agreed for her proposal? She was angry with both of them. So he, in angry mood, he made a statement that Dasharatha is no more my father. So now, when Sumantra, who is a minister of Dasharatha, when he came back, and Dasharatha Maharaj's agony in his pain, he was completely devastated that dear son Lord Ram went to forest because he loved Lord Ram so much. In the assembly, Dasharatha Maharaj sometime for no reason calls Lord Ram. And the kid Lord Ram, he would just walk into the assembly hall and Dasharatha Maharaj would enjoy the beauty of Lord Ram from the front. And then Lord Ram comes and very submissively and he tells, my dear father, I am your obedient, please, what should I do for you? And father, oh, I forgot, why did I call you? Now you go back. And when he goes back, he would relish him his beauty from the backside. That was a loving recipe. He's not ordinary father. God his son after many years of tapasya. So he loved his son so much. But now he was lamenting so much that I lost my son, he went to forest. Now Sumantra comes back and Dasharatha Maharaj is asking what is the message that the children have given to them. So Sumantra tells, my dear king, Lord Ram is happy following your order. But nevertheless, Lakshman made a statement that you are no more his father. And Dasharatha Maharaj hears this. Another loving reciprocation. Any father who hears that you are not my father, how they will feel? Probably in this age it is all the more, they may feel very happy. Probably the property is saved or something. But nevertheless, Dasharath Maharaj, who were feeling very bad, but Dasharath Maharaj amazingly felt very happy. Not because for any other reason like what we have, but Dasharath Maharaj felt himself a condemnable person that he gave this order. And he was very happy that now Lakshman is really my son because he rejected me as his father. Good what he did. And because he accepted Ram as his father, and Dasharath Maharaj became very happy by hearing this statement. So Lakshman and Ram, they are walking and they reached the forest. And in the forest, Lord Ram ordered Lakshman that you make some kutir so that I, Sita, and you will be happy staying in that kutir. So Lakshman became very upset. He became very bad, very, very sad. Not because that he was given service, but he was very bad hearing the statement of Lord Ram. Because Lord Ram said, Lakshman, you make a kutir by which I will be happy, Sita will be happy, and you will be happy. So Lakshman's mood is of a loving reciprocation, loving service, without any personal gratification. So he told Lord Ram, my dear Lord, it seems like you are separating your happiness and my happiness. If you and Sita are happy, then that is what my happiness. So why have to tell that make a kutir which will make me happy, Sita happy, and you also happy. I don't think anybody will find any difficulty in accepting this. But the service spirit of Lakshman, the Lord and his devotees, the loving reciprocation is, we can't even find anywhere close in this material world. So he felt very bad why he is discriminating between his happiness and my happiness. So then Lakshman made the kutir. He not only made the kutir the way Lord Ram has described. Lord Ram came and saw the kutir was so nice. There is separate room for Sita and Ram to have conjugal relations, and there is separate room for Lord Ram to meet the rishis. There is separate room for various facilities were nicely created by Lakshman. So Lord Ram was very surprised and very happy hearing this, seeing this service spirit of Lakshman. And in that happiness, he told Lakshman, my dear Lakshman, now we see again the reciprocation between another two personalities, Ram and Lakshman. Ram said, out of happiness, he said, my dear Lakshman, please understand that for now, by this time, another thing, Dasharath Maharaj have left his body. And Bharat have met Ram and they are gone ahead. So Lord Ram says now, that my dear Lakshman, people may say that I lost my father. But actually speaking, I did not lose my father. But nevertheless, Lakshman, you lost your father. So the reason why Lord Ram is telling, that Lord Ram was so pleased with the loving service what Lakshman have performed. He says that if my father would have been here, he is not an ordinary father. He loved me so much. He took care of me so much. What comfort I would have got in the presence of my father. You are doing all those things to me. So Lakshman, I did not lose my father. But nevertheless, you lost your father. Mean that Lakshman is not enjoying any of those facilities. So that was a loving reciprocation. Lord Ram was so pleased with Lakshman. And that was a loving reciprocation the Lord and the devotees they have. And here we see Sumitra, is mother of Lakshman, is telling, consider Lord Ram is your father. And Lakshman is telling out of love that Dasharath Maharaj is not my father. And Dasharath Maharaj is telling that Lakshman is my real son. And now Ram is telling that Lakshman, you are my father. So we can see what a loving relationship. Can we find anywhere close this kind of loving affection, reciprocation in this world? So here is a real loving reciprocation between the Lord and their devotees. And again, we see in the episode of Bharat, when Bharat as a child was born, he was named by Vasishtha Muni as Bharat, because Bharat means one who is going to carry the load of Lord Ram. Bhara Vahati Iti Bharat. Because in future, Bharat Maharaj is going to carry the load, the heavy responsibility of Lord Ram. That means he is going to take care of the mass kingdom of Lord Ram in future. But probably for a modern person, it is not a load, it is actually a boon. Brother, you go away, I'll take care of your property also. We find in the newspaper so much. But nevertheless, this is, and that won't be a burden. That is just like if you give a suitcase of gold biscuits to your businessman, you know, it's little heavy. Do you mind carrying this? You know, no problem, I'll carry it in my shoulder, you know. It's not a burden, it is a burden of love. Child carrying, mother carrying a child, it's not a burden, it's a love. So Bharat, nevertheless, for Bharat, it is a burden because he did not want to enjoy, or he did not want to rule the kingdom. It belongs to his brother's property. So he did not want to do this. But nevertheless, he did the service without enjoying the facilities. That's why Bharat is called Bharat, one who actually held the load of Lord Ram. Because Bharat, when Lord Ram went forest, he was did not even go back to Ayodhya, but he made his camp outskirts of the Ayodhya in Nandigram. And in Nandigram, he was staying there in the forest, as good as how Lord Ram lived, as good as how Lakshman lived, wearing the same dress, not eating worst food than Lord Ram. For all those years when Lord Ram and Lakshman, they were in the forest eating fruits and roots, the Bharat diet is quite amazing diet. And what he was eating is, we can't even imagine, barley soaked in cow urine. That's what, as austerity, he was just eating just to survive himself. That is a loving reciprocation they have. And Shatrughna, he is also an amazing personality, because wherever Bharat goes, Shatrughna goes behind him. And it is not that Shatrughna didn't have love for Lord Ram. He had love so much. But nevertheless, Shatrughna decided to stay with Lord Ram, with Bharat, because Bharat is actually taking care of Lord Ram's bigger responsibility of taking care of the kingdom. So Shatrughna is known, is told as Shatrughna because he actually destroyed or conquered his major enemy. So the great devotee described that which enemy Shatrughna conquered. The only one battle Shatrughna performed was, he did not even go to Lanka. That was, he had a battle with Lavanasura in Mathura. So there is only one battle he had. But nevertheless, he is told, he is known as a person who defeated the biggest enemy, Shatrughna. Nobody gave any name to anyone else. He got the name. So, but the real enemy, who he destroyed, is not just Lavanasura enemy outside, but the enemy within. That is enjoying spirit. There is two types of enjoying spirit. One is enjoyment outside devotional service, another enjoyment within devotional service. I want to perform devotional service for my pleasure, you know. I want this service, I will do. So, Shatrughna, even though he had so much attraction towards Lord Ram, but nevertheless, he withstood that attraction. He did not go with Lakshman to follow Lord Ram, but never he volunteered to serve somebody who is serving Lord Ram. So in that sense, he was even more glorious, who had a loving devotion to Lord Ram, but in a very different flavor. So we find all these great devotees of Lord Ram, they are serving him in various way. And it is not that Lord Ram is a master sitting and ordering everyone, but he loves his servant so much. He feels that at once he tells Lakshman, maybe I should go back. When Lakshman tells Lord Ram that, do you know what is happening in Nandigram? And Bharat, at the middle of the night at 2 o'clock, is going to the river Sarayu and taking cold water bath. So Lord Ram asks then, why he is doing that? It is 2 o'clock in the morning, it is so cold. Why is he doing this austerity? So Lakshman told that I heard that he is feeling very guilty that because of him that you are in forest. Because Kaikeyi loved Bharat and she wanted Bharat to be a king. So anyway, because of him, Lord Ram is in forest. So he is feeling ashamed to go when the public see him going to take bath. So he goes early in the morning and finishes bath, the cold water bath, and comes back. So when Lord Ram hears that he is performing so much austerity, he tells Lakshman, Lakshman, enough of my so-called vow and promise, let us go back. I'll go back and let Bharat be all right. So Lakshman practically has to stop Lord Ram, don't break your promise. Of course, Lord Ram spoke in out of loving sentiment to Bharat at that moment. So that was the loving reciprocation what the Lord has for his devotees. Vibhishan, another great devotee of the Lord, even though he was born in an enemy camp, born in a demonic family, when he gave up the company of his brother and he was coming back, was standing on the sky to come back to join Lord Ram, so many monkeys, they doubted his motives. Lord Ram as a king, he was taking counseling from other monkeys that should we take Lakshman, should we take Vibhishan or not. So Vibhishan still as a like a monsoon cloud, darkish cloud, he was standing on the sky with his four associate, with his club in his hand. And he was waiting that Lord Ram will take him. So Lord Ram was having a meeting and all the monkey soldiers are giving advice. And everybody gave their opinion. Most of them said that Vibhishan is coming from a wrong place at wrong time. It's Ravana's own brother, so I think we should not take him. He's born a demon. So Sugriva gave his opinion. My dear Lord, this Vibhishan, he left his own brother, first of all. And what kind of trust you can have on him that he left his own brother, how he will not cheat you and me? Plus, he is also having, I think, he know your power, so he is coming here now. He want to take the Lanka from you. So with motivation, he is coming to you. So Lord Ram did not speak, but he was laughing. And I was thinking that it is easy to find the motives of others. But then Sugriva himself, he left his brother Vali and he checked the power of Lord Ram and kicked the, as we heard in Narsingha Chaturthasi day, that he kicked the Dundibi's bones, and still Sugriva was doubting, intellectual doubts, you know, were you really powerful enough? And then when he pierced the seven tall trees, then he understood that he can do something for me. So he surrendered. So they had a... So now Sugriva is telling that, you know, he got his Kishkindha kingdom back from Lord Ram. Now he is saying that Vibhishan is coming probably for this reason. So Lord Ram did not say anything, but nevertheless he was smiling that this is your advice, interesting. So then Lord Ram was very much feeling very bad that what kind of these devotees, still they are doubting Vibhishan. So Hanumanji finally said, I have been to Lanka to find Sita and I have seen Vibhishan. He was a good person, you know. So Hanumanji also told Lord Ram that it's not that Hanumanji is telling that, you know, when I was there, Ravana wanted to kill me, but Vibhishan gave some good counsel to Ravana and they put fire on my tail. So let me do some help to Vibhishan. But Hanumanji said that I'm not telling out of my personal, you know, concern. I'm telling a fact that Vibhishan is actually a nice person, so you can take him. So, to cut shorter, Lord Ram heard the two opinions. Lot of monkeys, including Jambavan and others, they are saying that Vibhishan is coming from wrong place, so be careful with him, don't take him. And Hanumanji is telling that he's a good person, so take him. So, now Lord Ram has to decide. So it could be either one opinion. Is a good person, take him, or a bad person, reject him. But it is possible for the Lord. He gave his third opinion, which is nothing to do with either of these two. Lord Ram said, Sugriva, you are afraid of our security. You are afraid that Vibhishan will do something. And... others, you are telling, is a good person, so you take him. But Lord Ram said that none of you understood what is my mood. So here Lord Ram says that my nature is that if anybody comes to me and tells that even once that I am yours, I never reject that person. What to speak of this Vibhishan? He said, even if Ravana himself comes, I will immediately give my shelter to him. Vibhishano va Sugriva yadiva Ravana swayam. Even if Ravana comes himself, I will immediately give my shelter to him. So that was the reciprocation of the Lord. Not to anyone who are coming with mood of service, but even if anybody is suspicious and they're coming to the Lord never leaves him. We also see again the example of same family of Vibhishan, again as a contrast. In this world, as we heard in the previously, the systematic propaganda remove God. For what? That we want to remove God from the picture, but we want to enjoy his property or his energies. So scientific propaganda, industrialists and politicians, everybody in this world are exploiting the resources, but without God. And it is not a new thing. It is happening before also. We find another example in the same family of Vibhishan, Ravana, who was actually done PhD in this particular subject. And he was successful to some extent also. He was not a small demon, but he was a big term demon who actually achieved the perfection in that. And his policy was that everything is for me and I am the enjoyer. So he went to such an extent, he wanted to enjoy the Lord Ram's own internal potency. So he says that I don't want Lord Ram, but I want his property. So he wanted to enjoy Mother Sita and want to kill Lord Ram. And history repeats. Now also people are suffering. So what happened to Ravana? He was destroyed. And we see in the same family, Shurpanakha, and her motive was interesting family. She wanted to enjoy Lord Ram. She was having attraction to Lord Ram. But nevertheless, she wanted to kill Sita Devi. But what happened to her, as we heard in Narsingha Chaturdasi from Govind Prabhu, because of Sita Devi's presence and very close to our place, only her nose was cut. She was spared because of her presence. Because Sita Devi is none different from Lord Ram's own limb, and she was going to attack Lord Ram's limb, Sita Devi. So Lakshman, who is like a spiritual master, cuts Shurpanakha's nose and ears. So we see that those who are trying to not serve the Lord but want to enjoy his property like Ravana, they are destroyed. And we see those who others who have some kind of so-called attraction towards the Lord, but nevertheless they have no understanding of what is Lord's real pleasure. Like Shurpanakha wanted to exploit this his energy, and they all destroyed. But here again we see Vibhishan is the same family. His understanding is that I don't want anything for my own self. My only desire is I want to unite Ram and Sita together. I want to see them. They are living happily with each other. So he helped Lord Ram and their party to be united with Mother Sita. So we see Ravana did all these things to enjoy, keep Lanka as his property, and wanted to enjoy Sita. Both his attempts are baffled with Shurpanakha also. But Vibhishan, he did not endeavor separately to get the kingdom of Lanka. Actually, he just joined Lord Ram's property, Ram's party, just with selflessly wanted to serve Lord Ram. But nevertheless, as a byproduct, what to speak of the war over, then he is getting the kingdom. When Vibhishan surrendered, he came to surrender on the other side of the ocean, even before the build the bridge. So after, even before Lord Ram built the bridge, before even crossing, Lord Ram told Lakshman, go and bring some ocean water. And they sat Vibhishan on the stone, on the rock, and with all monkeys surrounding him, they coronated him as king of Lanka. Till now, whether the ocean god will come, whether the bridge will be done, the monkeys will get the stone float or not, nobody knows. Whether they go and fight with Ravan, he will be defeated or not. But nevertheless, Lord Ram is coronating Vibhishan as a king. So, even if somebody wants to enjoy materially, by serving the Lord unconditionally, as a byproduct, Vibhishan got his kingdom. So that is a glory of devotional service. So this is a small, simple example of Lord Ram's pastimes. We also, another 15 minutes, we will speak. Now we saw two things. One is the world which we are living in, which we have forgotten for quite a long time. Interesting discussion of Ramayana. But nevertheless, we discussed that competition, envy, and so-called exploitation, sense gratification. And here we see another interesting episode of loving reciprocation. And this is what we are aspiring for, to join Lord Ram's party, to join Krishna's party, to join Krishna's Rasa Leela. But nevertheless, even though we understood intellectually, we also hearing, we have faith in these narrations. But the problem is we have got still the material desires are lingering in our heart. So as a third item, as Prabhupada mentions here, so this is what our goal, and this is what we are seeing around. So if an intelligent person knows this is a problem I'll be facing in the material world, if I continue to be part of this crazy civilization, but I want to go to this place, but we don't have that pure love for the Lord. So what is the solution? Then Prabhupada is, in this purport which we are reading today, is telling that nevertheless, Krishna mercifully, through the Srimad Bhagavatam, is giving the process by which how we can come to this particular platform. So that is a process which Srila Prabhupada have mercifully given us, that even though we don't have that loving sentiment to the Lord, but nevertheless, if we cultivate the process, we can easily one day develop the same loving reciprocation. So how we can develop the loving reciprocation is by the practice of devotional service. So two ways of practicing devotional service. One is out of spontaneous love. Another is out of practice. So in this material world, we are tried our best, and many are still trying their best to sacrifice their life to others. Prabhupada mentions, even those who are selflessly, unconditionally served others. He gives example of Mahatma Gandhi. He served India selflessly, but nevertheless, what happened to him? The same people of, at least the Britishers, they said that as long as the British, we are ruling India, even though Gandhi was our number one enemy, we protected him. But as soon as we gave independence, you see what you did to him. So Prabhupada says, there is a tragedy that even if you give so much of your life, so much of your sacrifice, so much to love something temporary, the result is going to be very pathetic, because the world is temporary. The people whom you love, they are also temporary. So we have the spirit of service. We have the spirit of sacrifice and love. So if we focus that service spirit and loving reciprocation towards the Lord, then we can actually feel, immediately we'll feel the gates for this loving reciprocation is open for us. The very fact is that the devotees for years together practicing this devotional service, they could easily give up the so-called material attraction. That itself is evidence for that. Because a person may chant the Hare Krishna mantra or coming to the temple, maybe one Sunday, two Sunday, few Sundays, but still they are coming week after week after week. That means there is some, probably next Sunday, I don't know what will happen. But still, devotees are coming, mean there is something higher taste in that. So even a skeptic can see that the same people or ordinary people, still they are following the same thing. That means there is something higher taste in that. So by doing this service to the Lord and chanting of the holy name and following this process, even you may not experience that loving reciprocation immediately, but nevertheless we can actually start experiencing a glimpse of that loving reciprocation. So that is a direct, like Prabhupada says, devotional service is not a theoretical explanation, but it's actually one can feel the taste in that. First thing what you experience is one automatically gives up what they are trying to give up for years together. The bad habits, they go away. We are discussing with one devotee's parent. They are staying very far away. And they did not know what their son is doing. Suddenly he became Hare Krishna. So, and he went and he also made them devotees. So, we are discussing yesterday that by becoming devotee of Krishna, even materially speaking, is all the more win-win situation. Like for example, if we are not been devotee here, at this time, if you are going, sitting in the movie theater, what happens? You go into the movie theater and you go with your, you know, all ambitions, and when you're coming out, your packet is empty and your head is filled with headache. So it is just one example. Or if you're sitting in a hotel eating different kinds of food, your packet is empty, stomach is filled, but so many other things comes. Next day morning you may have to go few times. Then also you will be seeing a doctor and he will tell you not to this restaurant, but you know, Govindas. So materially also we see, as we heard in today Bhagavatam class, that a person's health improves, a person's lifestyle improves, materially also speaking. A person's economy is also increases because there is no charge for sitting in this AC room. So in all different ways, spiritually and materially, we started feeling a relief. That is just the beginning glimpse of devotional service. Then comes the bigger prize that, you know, we understand when you attend the Bhagavatam class regularly, when we hear Bhagavatam, when we see the life of great devotees, and when you really perform devotional service, Prabhupada translate bhakti as devotional service. When you perform devotional service, we can see Krishna's hand. And then when the time more goes, because what you want to achieve is not an easy thing, then we also see a lot of tests are coming in devotional service. In the beginning, it's very nice. But then some devotees said that somebody called me to the temple for nice prasadam. Then I came. They gave me a mala, and this is just only one round. But suddenly I ended up in every day 2 hours I'm sitting and chanting 16 rounds. You know, what happened to me? But nevertheless, the test comes. But we see in these narrations, we discuss Ramayana, or we discussed, we see in Krishna's pastimes also, that devotees undergo so many tribulations and miseries, which we did not discuss so much. But somebody may say that we are also suffering, but in your Krishna's time also the Pandavas are suffering so much. But if you see what is end result, what to speak of end result, even when they are suffering at the time also, they are blissful, they are taking shelter of Krishna. But in the material world, when people are suffering, the person who they love the best, they'll become the greatest enemy. But here, Bhishma Dev is telling that to the Pandavas, that the biggest of the warrior Arjuna is with you, and Bhima, who is the powerful person, is with you, and Krishna himself is there, but still the Pandavas, you are all suffering. But nevertheless, we never see Pandavas are giving their a loving reciprocation with Krishna. And that is another side we can see. Kunti Devi Maharani is praying that let me get more and more suffering. So that is even more another aspect of devotional service, that not only the devotee is loving Krishna and Krishna is loving the devotees in good times, but also the loving reciprocation continues in all good and bad times. And absolutely due to the presence of love, bad and good times are practically non-different. So that we see in Krishna's pastimes. So when we practice devotion service, we also see so many tests, so many our conditionings which we had, which comes up. Because we heard the when you go in the movie, sometimes they show the trailer show, you know, for only 5 minutes, you know, the hero is coming and action takes place and wow, very interesting, I want to see this one. But then you have to take a ticket, you have to go and stand in line or so many things. Similarly, we are seeing sometime the window opens, Radha Gopinath is playing the flute and so many, oh, this is a place I want to go. But then on the process, we have to pay some price also. So that is our envy, our pride, our anger, different anarthas comes in the devotional service. So Prabhupada, nevertheless, when we see the role models in the scriptures, we are learning lessons from them. So the main disease of in the practice of devotional service, envy and pride and other anarthas. But one has to, it's not that as soon as we chant the holy name, accept God, things are very smooth. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, when Arjuna was hearing, Krishna did not giving a false promise. Practically, Arjuna joined the Krishna consciousness movement, and second day, the second chapter, Krishna told, Matra Spurashastu Kaunteya. You have to tolerate Arjuna, not that you will get every day Mahaprasad. So Krishna promised, but we see the decision of Arjuna, which still he accepted and he went ahead. And the end result we see, wherever there is Arjuna, wherever there is Krishna, there is surely victory. So in our devotional service also, we will be facing difficulty. We'll face so many tribulations. But the scriptures also give us advice how to tackle the situation by following the authority, by following the devotee's instruction, by not becoming envious with them. So that is an important lesson we should understand. And we see when Prabhupada, one of his instruction when he went, he said, that the real love which you can show to me is how you are cooperating with each other. So the biggest problem of Kali Yuga is, as we discuss, quarrel and hypocrisy. So the same conditioning will also creep in devotional service. Like 2 days before, Madhavendra Puri Prabhu gave a very nice class on how to tackle the envy. When we are staying with the devotees, when we see, if you want to please Krishna, then we have to love other devotees. We have to see that because of my own misdeeds, I am suffering. But I don't want to blame others. So if we cultivate the spirit of loving reciprocation or non-enviousness with others, then actually one can please Krishna. Because the material world, they want to love, but there is no center. They want to love others for their own sense gratification, so that breaks in. But in Krishna consciousness society, we are loving each other because Krishna is our common father. So when you have Krishna as common father, we don't envy others. We love each other. And that is the only solution we can please Krishna. Some time back, in the book distribution marathon, in one temple, there was a competition on book distribution. And they want to come for the as a first, that I distributed maximum number of books. It's a good competition, but sometime in the service also how the envy can creep in. So one devotee, what he did, is in the western country, the snow is always falling, it's winter, December marathon. So the devotees are taking breakfast, and after breakfast is over, one devotee, he finishes breakfast very fast and immediately left the temple. He went to the shoe stall and he took the book and he went. And other devotees to finish their prasad, and they also took their book back and they are going to distribute the books and hoping to get a very good book distribution day. And they saw in the shoe stall that all their shoes are tied with each other's shoes, the laces, you know. They're tied, all the shoes are tied. And they have to sit for 10-15 minutes to remove all the knots and put and go. So this person, he thought that let them waste some more time in, you know, opening the knots, and by the time I'll go and distribute more books so I can come first. So this is one example. But also we find some other examples that another time one devotee was distributing books but he got hurt. And the other devotee, even though he could have distributed more books, but he was taking care of him. And he practically did not distribute many books. But then while going home, somebody came and he brought all the books. They purchased from him. He got a good score also, but he served the devotee also. So in the devotional service also, because we are in the practicing session, and the anarthas can come and this previous conditionings can come. But nevertheless, when we take guidance from the spiritual master and other devotees, when we have loving reciprocation with others, and that's how we can actually see Krishna. In Prabhupada writes in one purport that right now we are not qualified like Lakshman or like any other, like Sudama Brahmana, to see Krishna face to face. Krishna is of course mercifully manifested himself in the form of the deity form. But nevertheless, we don't have qualification or eyes to see Krishna speaking to us or he's dancing. But right now we can see Krishna actually and substantially in the loving reciprocation of other devotees. So when we are having loving reciprocation with other devotees, serving the other devotees, we will see actually Krishna's presence in front of us. So to conclude, we discussed how the material society, in spite of all their so-called attempts keeping God away from them, but in their love and affection, so-called dealing, there is competition and envy. But we see, on the other hand, in the spiritual life of the devotees, even though they are sometimes seems like not having material facilities like others, but they are more happy and they are more satisfied because they are serving the Lord. And also the quality of life, even materially we can judge a society by how people are living happily with each other. That is a good society. Forget about God, okay, let it be there. Even logically, if you see, yes, if a society can live happily and cooperatively, that society is most peaceful. But that is maximum accomplished in the circle of the devotees who are loving Krishna. There we see the devotees are tolerating each other, forgiving each other, loving each other. And that is what it is happening only because that is what's actually the natural quality of every individual, that we have love for Krishna within us. And when you try to revive that love by loving other devotees, by reciprocating with others, that is actually the perfection of life. And when you show that to others also, they are also becoming attracted. One time one person told Prabhupada that how come your devotees are so effulgent and they are so blissful and happy, they are standing out. So Prabhupada said that even the materialistic people are attracted towards the devotees, something different in them. One time, one devotee who was traveling to some communist country or somewhere for preaching, so he cannot go with the same dress or same attire. So he removed his, you know, different dress he was wearing and put some beard or some different thing he did. He was just looking very exactly like some other materialistic person. He sat in the train and he was going and her hostess came and said, "Hare Krishna." And I was, "Hey, what happened to, how do you know that I'm Hare Krishna? I can see you are, there is some special effulgence in your face." So even the, neutrally speaking, the non-envious people, they are also attracted towards such kind of society when they see. So that is Prabhupada's greatest contribution that Prabhupada has given us. Prabhupada said one of the purpose of ISKCON is to create a society where we will find devotees who are like-minded coming together to become attracted towards Lord Krishna. So that is even purpose of the Sunday feast also, that devotees come together and the six exchanges of the Dadi Pradigranati and coming together, doing kirtan and pleasing the Lord. And that actually brings a bliss. So we are grateful to Srila Prabhupada and their followers for giving us this opportunity, and we hope that we will be grateful for them always in our life and by seriously taking to this devotional process. So thank you so much for tolerating me for such a long time. I had to wear some spectacles. I can't see this time properly, I think. So tomorrow evening I'm going to the doctor. Hare Krishna. Any mistakes, please forgive me. Anybody want any comment? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.